This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
We can take a lot from these last games, starting our post-13 game where we didn't win a hockey game. There's areas of our game that we're trying to focus on real hard, take this one game at a time. We took a step back in Philadelphia with the way we managed that game and managed the puck and gave up the odd-numbered rushes that, you know, allowed Philly to win the hockey game. And we're trying to get to a point where we don't give away chances like that. And I thought the Washington game, we got back right back on track. And, you know, I said post-game, I thought we played what I felt was our best second period of the year.
That was Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff earlier today with Jeremy and Nate. They play tonight in Ottawa, 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame. They've had very exciting games the last three.
Oh, my God. It has been, I don't know what it is, but the
a lot of scoring.
The goal slider has moved up on the Sabres right now.
7-4-8 has been their goal totals in the last three games.
Yeah, and the one where they scored four, they let up seven.
Yeah.
So,
in the last
three Sabres games, there's one team that has at least scored seven goals. It's disgusting.
What do you want to see from this last stretch here?
Something to hold on to. Mm-hmm. That is my premise with the Sabres at this point, is give me something tangible to hold on to for the next year. Whether that is, I want to see if Jack Quinn can finish consistently down the stretch, or I want to see Yuri Kulik making that step and solidifying himself as a top six threat for a center position. I need something that can show me that the Sabres are going to be not okay, but like I need something to cling on to. Am I still going to watch them? Absolutely. We have a job to do here. I want it to stop being just about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing. But a lot of that work, the yeoman's work about the Buffalo Sabres, is going to be this offseason.
But you want to have something to hold on to into free agency and the draft.
Yes, I want something on the ice that's going to tell me that there's some sort of stabilizing going on. For example, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is not giving me a whole heck of a lot of hope right now. Can he right the ship with whatever games he has left? And it's going to be, after tonight, they have the 3 days off, and then it is basically every other day, if not days in a row. So we will see Luukkonen to end the stretch.
Yeah.
I do think there has to be something from Luukkonen that I can go, okay, maybe he's not cooked. Or show me that he is.
Yeah, kind of close that book.
Give me an answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I want answers to things. Is Josh Norris going to get shut down for the rest of the year, and should I have more concerns about him? Or does he come back and finish the rest of the season playing for the team? That would be very encouraging to me. I need answers is more or less what I want, and it would help shape the direction of what the offseason has to be.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that yesterday where I think we all kind of got there that like Mitch Marner would be fun. He's not really the main concern. It is goaltending and maybe to a more realistic standpoint, top four defense. You got to add another defenseman. Goaltending, it might just be you add a veteran guy who can man the ship if Levi's not having a great night. I'm really at that point now with him having two great years in the AHL. They're probably going to have a deep playoff run, hopefully have a deep playoff run this year in the AHL. him continue to put up those gaudy numbers and then just, all right, it's time. It's your show now. They paid Luukkonen off of what seemed to be a little bit over half a year of good play. Maybe he's a tradable asset. Maybe you've maybe got your veteran guy in Reimer. I think that's my thing, too, is I'd like to know, is Reimer the veteran or do we have to go in a different direction? That's yes. something I'd like to know as well. Because you mentioned we're going to see more Luukkonen, but to his credit, Lindy Ruff is not here to just play Luukkonen.
No. And now, though, like after today, you're going to have to play both of them.
Yep.
Just because the schedule is going to dictate it. Unless there's a back-to-back game and a player has a shutout and you want to ride that hot hand through, I'm expecting you're going to see the goaltenders every other night after tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be, we got to do this.
Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Talked a lot in the first hour of the NFL rule changes. We have something else as well. We'll get to that here in just a second, talking the Sabres now. But we'll get today started, and we'll go to Mike here on the line. Mike, you're on WGR.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
My concern is that, you know, this end-of-the-season rush goals and the team seems to be playing a little bit better. Is just going to make Kevin Adams believe that this team is good enough. I mean, our goaltending is weak. Our defensive play is very weak. Our special teams are terrible. We've got some decent five-on-five. But, you know, you look at the guys that he acquired, you know, we've got one guy that's producing. And the rest of the guys that he acquired in the offseason, I mean, Malenstrom and Lafferty and Obey, whatever his name is, you know, we need a new GM. And my concern is that our owner is going to look at this and say, oh, this is looks good. We're starting to score goals. All we need now is a goalie. Well, we spent a lot of money on a goalie that's having a terrible year. No one's going to want him. No one's taking his salary off of our books. He can't go down to Rochester. We're paying him $5.5 million a year, and he's been brutal this year. And that's the problem. These things that he's done over the last two or three years, in terms of bringing, what's he going to do with Bo Byram? Here's a guy that's going to want $7-9 million a year. Is Bo Byram, who was supposed to be this offensive defenseman, how many goals does he have this year? I mean, he's okay. The Samuelson deal, what we paid for Samuelson over the next number of years, he's a bottom two defenseman. He's not that good. His decision making has been terrible, and my concern is that all this is going to do is let him say, "Oh, see, we're getting better at the end of the year. We're just a player away instead of blowing up this team."
Mike, thanks for the call. I'm with you there to the end. I don't think you need to blow up the team. I think they are just a few pieces away. I will say, though,
if the general manager does nothing,
yeah,
that's the problem.
I will say, though, the fear I can fully understand of, are they going to go on this run and have everyone believe, oh, no, we were right. It actually is just in this room. We need like one fourth line guy again. Because that's ultimately what Beck Malenstein and Sam Lafferty and Nicholas Abe-Cobell kind of were. They were depth pieces on
not even ready.
To rebuild the bottom six.
Can you do better with your fourth line selections? Yes. But they are fourth liners available through free agency. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're going to be good. Let's make that abundantly clear. I'm not going to really go into it about and dig too deep about the fourth liners. I don't like the price that he paid for Malenstein, for example. I don't think that was a value thing that he did. But I'm not like, yeah, you signed Nick Aube-Kubel and Sam Lafferty, and they were bad. More at 11.
more at 11.
Like, bad. Like, yes, you could do better identifying fourth line players for your squad. But am I going to get mad about that? No. The points that he's actually hanging up on, that are hanging more to me, I should say, are, you know, that he was a little quick with some of these extensions, or he's extending the players upon their best seasons.
Yeah.
And I do think that that is something that needs to be
Cousins
worth
before this. He's
noting.
No longer on the team, but Cousins is one of them. Samuelson, he's brought up.
Luukkonen.
Yep.
Those are not good extensions. He did sign Tage to one of the bigger discounts in the National Hockey League. You have a 40-goal scorer at $7 million. But it's simple as this. He, like, Adams should know What they have at goalie is not good enough, and they need to do something about it. And he cannot go back into the next season going, okay, Luukkonen, Levi, when he wants it, take it. You can't have that again. Mm-hmm. You need a solid veteran that can play and challenge for a starting role the majority of the games. That's what it has to be.
Yep.
Or, ready, also, please fix up the defense.
That's a big thing for me on the Bo Byram thing. Yes, he's an offensive defenseman. He only has 7 goals. He has 35 points, though.
He has 35 points, which is a career best for him.
But he's also right around where power is. Dahlin's better than the two of them. He's well above them. His more, my fear with Byram is when he is no longer with Dahlin, his underlying numbers are horrendous.
His underlying numbers are bad.
So that's more my fear with Byram is that when he's not with Dahlin, it's bad. I will also say, and this is more my big point, this is maybe putting too much faith into a team that is on a historic playoff drought in the NHL. They have done this before. They have gone on these stretch runs to end a year where they clearly don't want to stop playing hockey. They want to play off, you know, what have you. And they look really good. And then it falls apart. I think we've seen that enough. I think management has seen that enough to know, okay, we know the talent's there. You guys need help, though, to get you through the beginning parts of the year where they've had bad runs. We heard the Lindy clip. That's where the 13-game losing streak came from, was that beginning of the year where all of a sudden it was like, oh, cool, we're done. Yeah. Or the fact of how bad they were in Europe to open up the season, put them immediately in a hole where the Devils just killed you.
And now it comes down to, I don't care if it's unwillingness or if it's inability. If you go the offseason without adding major pieces to shuffle the roster around, not quite blowing it up, but you do need to make sure that like some players are moving down the lineup with a couple of impactful moves.
Yeah.
If you don't do it, whether you think that the room has the answers or if you just weren't able to pull it off, that's a performance-based issue and people do lose their jobs for that. Adams is already in enough hot water. He cannot have another offseason of relative inactivity.
Well, and I mentioned it yesterday, too. He's already at a point where he's surpassed what most GMs should. It's 5 years of no playoffs, and you're sitting at the bottom of the East. They likely won't finish there just based off of games in hand and how they are playing and how teams at the bottom of the East are playing as well. But through 5 years, you're still bad. You're still one of the worst teams in the East. You're still not really that close to a playoff spot. That's why, for me, it was like, I wouldn't be surprised if he just says, screw it, I'm going for it. We're making big moves. We're making splash moves. And they do get active because he's sitting there going, I'm not going to get another general manager spot in the NHL.
No.
I already had way too much time with Buffalo, arguably, based on my performance. And even then, you could argue it was more of a cheap hire to just get someone in the seat and then move forward. Ultimately, he had some pretty strong early success in terms of rebuilding the scouting department. The drafting was much better. They had to make some trades they didn't really like, but this is a team that for like 10 years couldn't get a second-round pick to be an NHL player. And then now J.J. Paterka is, what, third? Second. He's second on the team in points. And he looks like a stud.
Probably not stud, but at least a top-six consistent contributor. Yep.
Granato for a little while there looked like, oh, you found diamond in the rough there with a coach because Ralph Kruger was a disaster. But Granato's assistant appeared to be good. That fell apart. And that really, I think, becomes a big part of this whole thing is that players, management, what have you, have real nice blimps of success.
Get rewarded for it.
And then get rewarded. Yeah.
And then the real thing shows.
Yeah. And I think that's maybe been their biggest issue is that there's been blimps of success. And a lot of people were worried about that with Tage last year. Mm-hmm. Was he one of those guys where all of a sudden he's going to put up, what, 45 goals, 50 goals, and then tailspins, and it's bad. He's back to what he was, you know, 2 years ago, but there was real fears that he was the same thing that a lot of these guys are.
Yeah.
And so, and for me, there has been enough that I feel like the Sabres will be forced into action because they've already been fooled once or twice from this.
Exactly. And I think that is, again, when we get to the offseason, we will find that answer out. If the general manager truly has the chops to retain his position, he can't do nothing, whether it's by unwillingness or inability, I don't care. There needs to be results.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones. Brian is with us. Brian, how are we doing?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Thanks for calling.
You know what? You know, I'm sorry. The goaltending is what's really you know, stressing me out. They don't have a number one goaltender. I remember back in the day, you know, 20 years ago, I don't know if it was that long, he had Dominic Hasek and Marty Brown. You had a starter and a backup. And, of course, you know, it just, it's kind of like running water off a faucet. I mean, it stems with the goaltending. And I think Lindy Ruff, actually, this is my opinion, maybe Lindy Ruff should be the GM. And bye-bye. You know, so.
Yeah, Brian, thanks for the call. Maybe president of hockey ops, if you want to do something like that. No.
Lindy's a coach.
Yeah, Lindy's a coach.
And we saw a coach, a very successful coach, go into the foray of being a general manager in Nashville, and it is a disaster. So, look.
I've also done that in Buffalo.
Yeah. So I think we're good on that.
Bills.
Yeah, I think we're good on that.
Didn't work.
If Lindy wants to keep being the coach, well, he's got one more year left. And yeah, if he wants to sign up for like president of hockey ops, sure. But I don't want to trust a coach to be a general manager because Lindy has never sat in a front office in his life.
No, and that's the thing too. If we're really going to talk potentially post Adams, their next general manager hire has to be somebody with legitimate credibility within the league, has been there and done it as a GM.
Exactly. Honestly,
that needs to be the next hire. I don't care what the name is. It needs to be I've been there and done it.
You're going to care about the name.
Well, Chuck Fletcher, sure. But
yeah,
you know,
I was going to say, if you get a Chuck Fletcher or a Peter Chiarelli.
Sure, I don't disagree. But at a certain point, it'll also be I just need somebody that's been there and done it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much like if it's like a Chiarelli or a Fletcher. I've got this game called Frogger that I'd like to play.
I mean, at least Fletcher's fun. It's probably not fun when he's your GM, but I enjoy it.
No. As your GM, like, that's a pit of, like, we think that the Adams thing has been bad. If they hire Chuck Fletcher, be ready for, like, the reacquisition of Rasmus Ristolainen or something.
Let's go. For a first-round pick, let's go.
Yeah, like, there's going to be, like, something wrong.
Let's go.
That, like, it's inexplainable.
I enjoy it.
So...
from afar.
But more or less, like back to the other point that he has of goaltending. Yes, that is the main thing. You cannot go back into this season, into the next one, with Luukkonen and Levi fighting for this starting position. Honestly, the plan has to be, unpopular as it may be, Levi stays in Rochester for one more start of the year. And there is a veteran playing with Luukkonen challenging for the starting role. Brian brings up, you know, having a number one goaltender. And quite honestly, like, those days are not quite there anymore.
No, it's there's like five goalies in the entire league that demand that kind of play time. It really does have to be more of a platoon system where...
It is a platoon system, but you look at the better teams in the league, they do have that.
Oh, absolutely. But there's also only like five or six of those guys. I'm in disagreement with the Levi thing. I think we've now hit a point with him. He's played two wonderful seasons in Rochester. We'll see about if this is a long playoff run for them. I think at this point, if he can't grab it this year...
Then what do you do about Luukkonen? If he does not stabilize by the end of the year, you cannot, in good faith, march another team in here with the tandem of Luukkonen and Levi and expect to have success.
I mentioned it yesterday. Package him with a pick or a player to get him out. You got to make moves.
You got to make some moves.
And some of them are going to be painful. But like at some point, yeah, you've signed these extensions too early. Now, with him, I think that there was the issue. You kind of had to.
But if we walk around the league, for example, though, there are enough recognizable starting goaltenders in playoff spots. Lightning, Vasilevsky. Panthers, Bobrovsky. Capitals. It is blanking on me right now.
I got you. I'll look it up.
Yeah, look that up. Carolina's one of those, like, Freddie Anderson's supposed to be their guy, but he ends up getting hurt often enough that Kochetkov is playing a lot more games.
Oh, it's Logan Thompson. It's your guy.
Logan Thompson, yep. Of that he who should have been playing for Team USA. Ottawa, Linus Ullmark. The Rangers are not in a playoff spot, but they have Shesterkin. The Islanders are not in a playoff spot. They have Sorokin, and he's kind of the reason why the Islanders aren't complete trash because they only have 202 goals on the year. Are you kidding me?
Love them.
Pretenders. Frauds. All the time. Lou Lamoriello, how do you do it? Winnipeg, Hellebuck. Dallas, Ottinger. Knights, Aiden Hill. It is something where it's actually kind of recognizable that to be a consistent playoff team, you typically do have a goalie that is taking over the share of the starts.
Yeah, Toronto's one of the few that I know.
Toronto's one of the few.
This year, they're having real good success in net, but it's two guys, Joseph Woll and Anthony Storlars.
Exactly. Like, Toronto's one of those few teams that they're actually having the success by tandem. The Devils had it forced on them because there was an injury in net for them. So that's another part of this. Like, Markstrom is still supposed to be the guy, and he is. Jake Allen had to play a lot more than usual today, this year, but it is still Markstrom's net. Like, these are all teams that are in the playoffs. And I mentioned the Rangers and Islanders, though, because, well, they are worth mentioning. They have a guy. And the Rangers are tied with Montreal for a playoff spot right now. Though no one seems to want to claim it in the Eastern Conference. But the Islanders, I mentioned it just now, they have only scored 202 goals this season.
Mm-hmm.
Gross. And it's not one of these, like I don't look at the Islanders as a success story or a reason that, like, why you shouldn't have a starting goaltender who is the lion's share hoarder of the starts.
Mm-hmm.
The one who shared the Lions' hoard, not shared, who had the Lions' share this year has not been good enough.
No, that's right.
That is simple as that. Your starting goaltender for this season has not been good enough. And then you can also point to Boston, who is free-falling their way into even surpassing the Sabres for last place in the East. Jeremy Swayman, not good since his extension.
No, and you bring it up a lot, too. Goalies are weird. They are also fickle. Flat out off years. I do wonder, too, like, I don't think Lukanen's ever going to be a guy that's challenging for the Vezina, but do his numbers look better if the penalty kill defense is better or the just straight-up team defense is better?
And there is a little bit of a chicken and the egg
yes.
sort of conversation on this. But it does simply have to be, you have to be better.
Yep.
Because on the penalty kill, you have to be the best defender. And oftentimes, if you look at the goals saved above expected, especially on the penalty kill, it is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It is horrific, even. Like Calgary, out in the West, like, they are the closest threat to stealing a wild card, but it does look like the West is pretty settled in. Calgary is trailing by 5.
That's not great.
But they have Dustin Wolf showing up now, being the guy. And the Canucks, they have Demko. They're very comfortably in the conversation with Calgary. So it, like, the guy that you had this year to be the starter was not good enough.
Nope. And that's my thing.
And the problem is he only showed 1 year that he was.
But that's where I look at Levi and it's like, it sucks, but all your eggs now are kind of in his basket. For a little while, it was a split between him and UPL because UPL was the original. He's our young goalie coming up.
He was the original young hope in net.
But now, again, you've gotten 2 great years out of Levi in Rochester. I don't know how
one
much.
One and a half.
But I don't know how much this fan base could stomach him starting in Rochester again. And if UPL starts slow and we got a slow start again next year.
You might need to honestly think about putting him on waivers.
Yeah, because I don't know how that's going to go. I mean, that's what's killed them these last few years. They've been able to score, and then they don't get any goaltending. Yeah. This year, they can still score, even with bad power play.
Even with a bad power play. They are one of the best teams at 5-on-5. You need the goaltending. And for the second time that Lukanen has been the lion's share guy, he hasn't been it.
803-0550, the number to call. Also want to touch base a little bit more on some of the draft stuff. We were talking with Sal, too, of where some teams could go. We're under a month away from the first round of the draft in Green Bay this year, by the way, which, I don't know, I'm excited to see how it goes, just depending on if I actually want Buffalo to have the draft or not. 803-0550, again, the number to call if you want to join the show. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer, you're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.